ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Daniel Browning with you for another episode of The Art Show. Coming to you from what Bundjalung-speaking mob know as Walgan, the shoulder, also known as Cape Byron, an Arakwal country on the far north coast of New South Wales. Jingiwala. They used to lay by contemporary art back in the day, forging a business relationship early on. What's even more surprising is that after 20 years in the commercial gallery business, they're still friends. They're also one of Australia's most successful art partnerships. I don't mean in terms of profit-making or business revenue, although they're very canny businesswomen. I'm talking about the cultural impact of the artists they represent. And some of those include Tony Albert, Lindy Lee, Polly Borland, XD Medici, Sam Leach, Ramesh Marionithyendran, Yvette Coppersmith and Naminapu Mamaru White. Ursula Sullivan and Joanna Stumpf are now key players in the commercial gallery sector. They shook things up when they first arrived on the scene in 2005, when both Sydney and Melbourne were proverbial one-horse towns, to become a permanent fixture and a positive influence in the arts ecology. Ursula Sullivan and Joanna Stumpf, welcome to The Art Show.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
How did you both meet?
Well, way back in the dark
way back
ages,
in school.
In 1996. Jo?
Well, I went to university in Brisbane. And
which university, by the way?
I went to the University of Queensland, where I studied art.
Me too.
Did you? Mm-hmm. And I was advised when I said at the age of 15 that I wanted to be an art dealer that I needed to study art history and French. And so that's exactly what I did, except I was terrible at French, so I gave that up after the first year. But I stayed with the art history. Mm. And then when I graduated, there was really only one gallery in Brisbane that I wanted to work for, and he didn't have any jobs for me, so I moved to Sydney.
And for no other reason, there were just no jobs.
And on a very fateful weekend, I found a really great place to live, and then the next day I walked around the streets clutching my CV, and I happened to walk into a gallery where the main gallery assistant had just handed in her resignation, and the very desperate art dealer said, quickly, come, how soon can you start? And I said, absolutely immediately, which I did. And then I think maybe like 2 days later, this girl walked through the door who looked after the gallery on Sundays to say goodbye to the girl whose job I was taking. And that was Ursula Sullivan, Ursula J. Sullivan.
And what did you think when you met Jo?
I thought she was great.
She's taking my friend's job.
Yeah, I just thought, here we go. Because, I mean, the dealer that we were working for was fabulous because she gave a lot of people a chance in the art world who had pretty pitiful CVs. Mm. But she was also a little tricky to work with as well. So there was a bit of a turnover of staff there. And so it was like, oh, here's the next one. And, and you know, she'd moved from Brisbane and I had come from Brisbane as well. And so we didn't really connect over that, actually.
Oh, really?
But very quickly, our friend Verity, who was the one leaving, Jo and I became sort of quite a tight sort of trio of close friends because we had this sort of work experience to share and everything else to share as well. So within that first week of Jo moving to Sydney, she met her two future best friends and also her husband. So it was quite a big week.
Who was in the share house in Paddington?
Yeah.
God. It's like an episode of I'm thinking Melrose Place, but no. Something a bit more upmarket.
It was more like Girls than Melrose Place, let me tell you.
So then what happened there? I mean, how long did you stay at that particular gallery?
I was only there for 6 months and I got kind of
got jack of it?
Pinched. No, I got headhunted by another art dealer and Ursula then had finished her university, so she took my role at that same gallery. And so for a while we were head-to-head. So I was working for the rival art dealer and there's a beautiful story where we went on our Easter holidays as became a tradition, actually, and we sort of still do it today, although we skip the odd year here and there. And we took a house down the south coast. And Urs happened to arrive first. I came a little bit later in a different car. And she ran down to the car to greet me, and she said, "There's three Olsons here."
As in three members of the Olsen family, or three Olsen paintings?
No, three Olsen paintings.
Okay.
Yes.
In the holiday house that we were renting.
Wow.
And so there was a bit of a battle royale over whose boss was able to acquire these Olsons and then sell them in the gallery.
I was deeply insulted because I lost. And I do like to win. So
So then when did the idea come that you would form a company, form a gallery together?
It was there pretty early, to be honest. We used to sort of faux answer the phone to each other. "Sullivan's from Fine Art, Ursula speaking." And it was a joke.
You manifested.
But also,
you made it real.
Also, totally. We were kind of quite deeply serious about it as well. But we just didn't really know how to get there. Mm. And so we started buying contemporary art together. Like within 6 months of meeting, I mean, I think we were like 21, 22 years old, we started lay-buying artworks from the contemporary dealers at the same time because we just loved contemporary art. Like it really comes from a place of love of contemporary art. And it's really hard to buy contemporary art when you're on, you know, the pittance wages that arts people get. And so we decided we'd buy artworks together and do these long, torturous lay-bys for the art dealers involved.
How long was the longest lay-by?
Over a year. And Darren Knight was particularly
he was
good
amazing.
With us. Yeah. And we didn't have credit cards or even checkbooks at that stage.
We used to do money orders.
From the post office.
Oh my God.
Yeah. It was
old school.
Because you used to be able to buy money orders, didn't you? Like,
yeah.
here's a money order for $100. And you've had to sign for it a bit? No. You just buy the money order.
You'd buy the money order and then
you could
send
post
it off
it
to poor
legally.
Darren.
Yeah.
And he would credit that and be like, "Oh, one day you'll finish the pain."
Do you remember the artwork that was the longest, subject of the longest lay-by?
I think it was the Anne Wallace. And it actually won the Sullman Prize, right?
Yeah. We bought it like the night before the judging.
Love Anne's work.
Yeah, she is great.
Yeah. She actually went to the same school that I went to, and I remember seeing her artwork hanging in the art room at school and thinking, "That's amazing."
Crazy.
I know, right?
Crazy. Yeah. Can I ask which school?
It was St. Aidan's in Sherwood.
Kind of over near, is it over near the river? Mogul, that way.
Indooroopilly.
Indooroopilly, okay, you're right. This is an interesting thing. I mean, you didn't connect over Brisbane.
Mm-mm.
We always say we would have hated each other if we'd known
at
each
school.
Other.
At
school. I was very dark and moody, grumpy teenager, whereas Jo was a bit more sort of musical girl.
Musical kid, goody two-shoes.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we wouldn't have bonded.
No.
I've had the pleasure of working with you both and have written for the magazine. And I've worked with you, you know, kind of unofficially over the years because of my friendship and collaboration with Tony Albert. Talking about artists like Tony Albert, you know, you've got on the roster some incredible practitioners who are important people in the scene, but they're also voices. I think of them as being voices in public discourse as well. How do you determine who you're going to welcome in to the family? I mean, how do you decide?
It's very instinctual and nuanced, and there is no
always,
recipe.
Is it always unanimous?
Not really.
Always.
I love the unison there.
No, it's not always unanimous, but that's okay. You don't have to agree on everything.
Mm.
Because sometimes if you have to agree on everything, then everything is compromised.
Mm.
Whereas if either Joe or I feel really strongly about something, we have the freedom in our relationship to respect that of each other and to then let that happen. Mm. And quite often we will learn a lot for doing that.
Mm.
And we both have experiences each way. And you know, for example, Greg Hodge, who is like the most amazing artist now, I did not back him at first. I just thought, too decorative. And then his evolution, and Joe was like, "Nope, we're doing it." But his evolution has been truly incredible as a painter and as an artist and as a human being, actually.
Mm.
And so I was wrong.
Mm.
I mean, I have been right a lot of times. But
and there are many instances where I was completely wrong and Ursula was completely on track. So yeah, it's great that we
can. Are there any examples, Jo?
None that are coming to mind. I'm sure they're there.
How do you maintain a friendship? Because, you know, business can be brutal. How do you maintain what appears to me to be still a good friendship?
We just have a lot of fun, you know. She makes me laugh.
We're very honest with each other.
And we share an office as well, so it's
that
like...
That makes no difference. People who share offices can hate each other.
No, we don't. We just have fun and we're eternally grateful to have the other person there because it's a really hard business. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like a lot of glamour and a lot of champagne, but it's a hard slog. And we repeatedly say, oh my God, I don't know how you could do this by yourself without the support. Because I've got her back. She's got my back.
We have the same agenda. There's no competing agendas with what we're doing. We both want the best for our artists. We both want the best for the gallery. And so we keep that in mind at all times. And we trust that the other person has that. Mm. You know, I think actually the fact that we were buying artworks together, which involves money, was really healthy way for us to start because it established that trust, the business trust. And even though we started with just simply buying artwork because we love it, it did give us the trust of our relationship. And I moved to Melbourne and so there was the distance and then we could still make things work in that way. So, yeah, I mean, trust is so important with everything that we do, with our artists, but especially with each other. Mm. And you can't put a price on it. It is just so important. And I trust Jo with everything. Mm-mm. And she does me too. Mm-mm. So it's very like we've got the same goals, we trust each other and that's it. Mm-mm. And nothing can break that.
Mm. I mean, part of the reason that's to me that Sullivan & Strumpf is so successful, and I'm not talking about it as a business enterprise, I'm talking as a part of the ecology, is the strength of those artists. You know, we talked about how you determine who gets passed through. But are there any artists that you miss that you feel like, wow, God, I really should have gone hard on that? Is there anything that you missed in the past 20 years?
There's still time, Gary.
To get them back.
There's still time, so I'm not going to name it here. Oh, but sure, I mean, you have huge art crushes on people. And sometimes that's okay. You don't feel like you need to show everyone. Mm-mm. Some, you know, it's important.
And you
don't
have to. You don't have to also be the representative, the representing gallery for that artist.
Exactly.
You can watch their career.
Yeah, you can enjoy them, and you can say that's really wonderful that they're in that gallery and that they're helping the whole ecology. So yeah. And then some we just keep watching. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You're just back from Hong Kong. From Art Basel.
That's right.
What's the vibe over there about your artists? I mean, you're obviously showing over there and representing them. What are international audiences saying to you about your artists?
It was really fun, actually. I mean, we took six female artists to Hong Kong, an all-girl booth. So we were.
Wow.
Yeah, it's the first time we've done something like that. And three of those artists had never been seen in Hong Kong before. And three had, but really only one had been seen a lot in Hong Kong. And it was fascinating. It was fascinating to watch the audience's response to the work. There's a real interest at the moment in painting. Painting is very, very big at that particular Hong Kong, at that particular fair.
Why is that, do you think? Why is that? Is it just at the moment, like a trend?
Well, needless to say, there's a lot of conservatism around at the moment. Mm-hmm. And so I think that is reflected in where people's interest, like they're certainly very keen to feel safe in what they're acquiring, and painting is very safe. Mm-hmm. Not to say that it's not experimental or exciting, because it actually is. But, yeah, I think there's a strong sort of interest in painting, yeah, for sure. And figurative painting, actually. But having said that, Gemma Smith we showed and we sold all of her work in the booth, so that's very abstract. So what do we know, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Obviously not very much after 20 years. So who's, I mean, Tony, I mention just as because we're so close. But seeing his career and the way that you've managed that, and I take that to be an example of how you've supported your artists. And I don't know in great detail about the other artists, but seeing how you've managed his career and the things he's been able to do, under your protection, have been amazing. Is he kind of an example of the artists, how you treat your artists, how you sponsor them and support them to do the other things that they need to do? But Tony's had so much freedom, you know, and he does so many other things.
Tony's a fantastic example.
He's a workhorse, that guy.
He's an amazing example of a human being and what's achievable as a human being as an artist. And it's really interesting that you note the freedom, because it's really important that artists have freedom to develop and progress and think. And we really respect that need for an artist to do it, to do those things. We definitely encourage that, all of those things. I mean, there's a lot of cowboys in the world. And so we try to, as best we can, to protect an artist from that element. But aside from that, there's, freedom. Mm. That's art.
And cowboys, you're talking about other gallerists? Or the industry as a whole?
In the industry as a whole.
Yeah. Whose career are you most proud of over the last 20 years? I mean, is there one artist you've supported the whole time over that stretch of 20 years that you've been with, that's been with you?
Well, I think Sid's a great example.
So we're just about to open an exhibition on Saturday, which is Sydney Ball. Mm. And while we certainly weren't with him his entire career, I mean, he was 83 when he passed away in 2017, he was with us from the beginning in 2005.
From the beginning of Sullivan and Strumpf.
From the beginning of Sullivan and Strumpf. Yeah. And he was a great artist. I mean, his work was in all of the major collections throughout the country, but he'd kind of, I guess, was in a bit of a quiet patch. And he came to us on a mix of a good word from a friend and also because he liked the font that we were using on the outside of the gallery.
Sorry, that's really important. You know, the aesthetics of your, you know, how you represent yourself is really important. An artist would see that.
We are all visual, right? So Sid liked our font and and we went to visit him in his glorious Glen Morkett house in the Hills District, and we took barbecue chicken, and, you know, it was just the beginning of a beautiful friendship. And what I love about Sid is that, I mean, he was our mentor, really. He was like the grandfather of the gallery. He taught us so much about how to do things, what to do, what not to do. And at the same time, he was really enlivened by his involvement with the younger artists that we were showing. He was, you know, regularly coming and seeing what everyone was doing. There were beautiful friendships. Michael Lindemann, who's another one of our great artists, became quite close with Sid and would go and, you know, clean his gutters and help him do these things that, you know, help him stretch canvases and put things together. It was really beautiful. And he passed away, and, you know, I was with him in his, you know, sort of last day at the hospital. And I guess the way that his work developed in the time that he was with us is really exciting too. And we've actually got an exhibition that is just that period, just the Sullivan and Strumpf years of Sid Ball, and it's glorious. It's so good to see it up again. But, I mean, we're proud of all of our artists.
Yeah, they're all,
you know, each one is kicking goals. I said last year, I said, we're in peak Sullivan Strumpf, you know. We're really at this really important, powerful moment in our gallery life. And that's just like everyone else is coming along. And
everyone is lifting.
Everyone is lifted, yeah.
Is there an artist that you can name whose career is just so exciting to you? Or is there a glut of artists?
I mean, are you talking someone that's not
it could be
so
anybody.
Well known yet?
Yes. I'm thinking, like, what are you guys as predictors and as, you know, trendsetters, agenda setters, what are you seeing? What's the most exciting kind of, I guess, through line or current in art practice, and who are the artists who are doing it?
We just had a show in our Melbourne gallery called In My Prime, and we just took on a really young artist by the name of Jess Cochran. So she's at the very beginning. We haven't even had a solo show yet. There's one early next year. She's really exciting. That's just going to be
a great
story.
Straight out of university or what?
No. She's had maybe 10 years out of university. She's based in London, but she's Australian.
I'm showing my appalling lack of knowledge.
No one knows about her. So that's the starting story. Then there's someone like, for example, Sam Leach, who came with us very early on, and his involvement and interest in the whole AI evolution has just kind of sustained him and been able to elevate his practice in a way that's really beautiful. You know, we're just about to have the first solo show of Gemma Smith, who's very established in Australia. You know, she used to show with Sarah Cotier, for example, in Sydney. And so that's really exciting. I mean, she's just made the most incredible, huge works that we showed at Art Basel Hong Kong as well. So, you know, a lot of the artists are doing really special things that are unique to their own practice. And whether or not that's someone starting off, Jess Cochran, or someone who's established, Sam and Gemma, or someone who's no longer alive, like Sid Ball. And then, you know, there's just a lot of things going on, a lot of balls in the air for all of the artists. And it's really exciting to watch, actually, just as a gallerist, to see someone hitting these high notes. It's just beautiful.
And that time in Hong Kong, Joe, we talked about the traditional, the painting making some kind of a resurgence, is a kind of social and political conservatism, an echo of that. Anything else that you saw that you were really intrigued by as a gallery owner, as someone who's in the business?
Look, Alexi Glass Cantor did an incredible...
Oh, yes, her.
She did an incredible job of the encounters. And for those who are not aware...
Curator of art in Hong Kong.
The encounters are the very large things in the middle of all the booths. And it can be done really badly or it can be done really well. And Alexi's been doing that role for 10 years. Such a huge thing. And so I was really impressed by all of those encounters because it's a different kind of art.
It's kind of like public art in a way, isn't it? They have to be quite monumental.
Something that you can encounter.
Exactly.
You're stumbling across it. Well, they're so huge, you're not going to miss it.
Some very large insects, I believe, in that encounter.
There were some large insects. There was some absolutely crazy video work, some AI works, which...
Yeah, we're just insane.
Absolutely insane, and just packed the crowd for the entirety of the fair. I wanted at one point, you know, any point, just to sit down and get to watch this piece, and there was never a spare seat. It was always completely full.
AI generated.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
And AI has been the subject of many people talking about it, particularly in the publishing industry, you know. What kind of challenge do you think it presents for the visual arts? Any challenge?
I don't think it really does.
As a tool, it's a fantastic tool, but yeah.
It's actually, I mean, it might be a bit too much to say it actually works in the art world's benefit, but I think it really does highlight our need to actually have that tactile sensory experience that artwork provides. And perhaps that's 100%. That's why painting is really popular now, because you can see the mark of the artist that this work is done by hand.
It's like the audience wants to see evidence of the hand of the artist.
Yeah, they want to be in touch and communicate with other human beings, and artwork is a really great way to do that.
Hey, look, congratulations on your 20 years.
Thank you.
And will there be another 20 years? Because you met someone recently who has 40 years, twice as long as you.
Maybe.
Let's see.
We might be very tired.
Thank you both so much for joining me, Ursula Sullivan and Joanna Strumpf.
Thanks, Daniel.
Thanks, Daniel.
That's Sullivan and Strumpf, Ursula and Joanna, two key players in the Australian art scene, whose business has just turned 20. That's all we have time for. The Art Show is produced by Sky Kirkham with sound engineer Ross Richardson.
I look forward to your company next time here on The Art Show.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.